something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
And welcome to a Thursday night. It is Nicole Sandler here at Air America Radio. And yes, not only on Air America, but at Air America. I usually do my show from my home studio in Miami, but I'm in New York City. Happy to be here. And joining me in the studio tonight is John Fugelsang.
Glad to be back.
So good to have you here.
This is our first time doing the show together in the same time zone. This is really wonderful.
It is. And it's our first time actually meeting face to face.
Yes, it is. I don't count that sleazy internet stuff we did. I mean,
no,
you know, it's great seeing you naked on Skype and everything, but it's not the same.
People are listening.
Your boyfriend's watching football.
You're right. He is.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Anyway, so we have some fun stuff going on tonight. We both have our, you know, our musical backgrounds. And so in the next hour, we're going to be joined by a musical guest. And what's funny is I was thinking, well, you wouldn't know Angela because unfortunately, Angela McCluskey had a band called Wild Colonials.
Wild Colonials.
And although people in L.A. knew her, knew them, and they had some moderate success, it wasn't, you know, wild success. And turns out, though, you have done some stuff with Angela.
Well, I saw the Wild Colonials. They played at NYU when I was there many years ago. And
mm-hmm.
then I was a huge fan, and I met her when I worked on John McEnroe's show,
right.
program,
uh-huh.
Offering at CNBC a couple of years ago. And got to meet her in person. And even if you don't know Angela McCluskey, you've heard her voice before.
Oh, yes, you have.
Especially if you know the song Breathe by
Telepop Music,
which we should play if you have it.
Oh, we will, and we've got it. We've
and
got it here.
One of the most gorgeous voices in the recording industry today. And I'm so thrilled that you have her on as a guest.
And she is one of my favorite people. And it's funny because, you know, I'm living in Miami these days. And so the few times I've been back to New York, when I've been back to L.A., when I've been there, she's been in New York. And when I've been here, she's been in L.A. And this time, she's here. So Angela will join us in the studio in the next hour. And she's got a new album coming out next week. She just came from the studio where she was today with her husband, Paul Cantillon, who's mm-hmm. an amazing pianist who was also in Wild Colonials.
Great guy.
But these days is doing a lot of movie scores. And this I didn't know because I've never watched the TV show Intervention. But apparently, the theme song, song used on it, maybe it's Amazing Grace or something that she sings, and people have been writing her asking for a full version of it, and she didn't have one. So they went in the studio today and recorded it.
Oh, brilliant.
So we're going to get the world premiere of that.
I used to watch Intervention, but I couldn't stop, and eventually my friends had to come together and ask me to cut back on it a bit. So, and she's a wonderful guest, and since today is the day that we celebrate the Grammys sending music to hell, the Nicole Sandler Show is pulling it back.
Yeah, baby. All right, so John Fugelsang is here for the entire 2 hours. Angela will join us later. Before we get to all that, though, we got to do this.
I read the news today, oh boy.
All right, joining us today, not on the phone, but in person from the Talk Radio News Service at talkradionews.com is Ellen Ratner. Hi.
Hi, and it's nice to see you in person.
Yes, it is. This is great. I love New York. It's so great to be here.
You have to come more often.
Most definitely. All right, so I've been in the Liz Claiborne headquarters today dealing with domestic violence, so I haven't seen much of what happened in the news today.
Three areas. One I don't know as much about as I should because I wasn't there, and that is the jobs conference that the president had, getting ideas from people, trying to support green jobs. The White House has sort of been churning out things all day on that today. And, of course, the National Federation of Independent Business and the Chamber of Commerce either weren't invited or didn't go or something like that, so that the Republicans are having a field day with that. Secondly, there was the First Amendment was actually put forth on the health care bill by Barbara Mikulski, and what she said is that they wanted to put, I think it's almost $1 billion in for preventive care for women. And then came the other amendment done by Lisa Markowski of of Alaska saying that this did not, preventive care did not mean abortion. That got voted down.
Ooh.
And then it was interesting. I think Tom Harkin was the guy that actually got them confused and said support the Murkowski Amendment.
And not
and then
Mikulski.
He realized, and then Barbara Mikulski got up and said, I'm Barbara Mikulski. She's Lisa Murkowski. We're not the same person.
Wow.
It was a little theater on the Senate floor today.
Oh, yes.
So that happened, and then
I predict a Saturday Night Live sketch coming out of this.
Oh, I do too.
Yes.
That would be perfect for them.
You
and
say
then,
Murkowski, I say Mikulski. No, okay.
Exactly.
I digress.
And then there was the Bernanke hearings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there has been a hold, I believe, that was put on yesterday.
By Senator Sanders
on his nomination. And it's very interesting. He was given a lot of grief. I believe it was by Jeff Sessions, but I'm doing this all from memory, about what he really has done or hasn't done. And then, of course, so he's really getting it from the right and the left. They are predicting that his nomination is actually going to go through.
I have to ask why President Obama wants to keep Ben Bernanke there. I mean, I wonder why he brought Larry Summers and Tim Geithner in to run the Treasury Department and why he wants Bernanke back for another term heading the Fed.
Well, the only thing I can think of is that it's kind of like when I heard Obama's speech the other day, and I said, you know, I wonder if there's something in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, the speechwriters unit, that when they walk in there, they have some vapors, and they all begin to sound the same. And you almost wonder, is there this same sounding kind of thing? Does somebody get to them? And it's like unbelievable that people are just going about Obama and Bernanke. Well, where did he come from? And so it's interesting that both right and left are after him. That's not a very good position to be in if you're an appointed official in Washington, D.C.
No, not at all. So, but yet you're saying it looks like it will go through even with all these objections to him. Are there any other alternatives?
Well, there's a million alternatives.
Right.
I mean, he may also figure, look, it will be too difficult to find somebody new. A liberal who he may actually want in their economics will never get through. It's hard to say. He may just say this is an easy, it's easy, it'll go on. The work with Geithner on monetary policy, for whatever you and I think of Geithner, that is an Obama appointee, and we'll see.
Right, and maybe there is a push in both houses of Congress as well for an audit of the Fed. I mean, it got through the House, put forth by Ron Paul and Alan Grayson, talk about strange bedfellows.
Right.
I know Bernie Sanders is in favor of the same thing in the Senate. So maybe there will, for once, be some controls and oversight of the Fed, which we haven't had before.
That would be nice. And there is a bill actually to push a little more on that kind of oversight and have an audit. So that's part of it. One last thing, Afghanistan. Richard Holbrooke is over in Switzerland, I believe. Brussels. And they're having a meeting of the NATO foreign ministers. They are saying, I guess Italy's putting in 1,000 troops. Turkey's saying, well, we'll help with training, but we won't put any combat troops on the ground. And Karzai is saying he will meet with the Taliban if they're willing to meet with him and negotiate. How do you negotiate with the Taliban?
I don't know. But Hamid Karzai, I mean, we're counting on him to be able to get us to start pulling out in 18 months. I don't see that happening either.
Neither do I. And I honestly think if you're going to do Afghanistan, you better do it with 300,000 or 500,000 troops, or it's not doable.
Exactly.
I'm not even sure it's doable with that many.
Exactly. So why he's doing this, I don't know. And I got to tell you one last thing. Last night, I flew into New York yesterday afternoon. So I'm at Times Square. Looking at
You were going to go to that?
I did, and I went to the rally in Times Square, right across from where this peace rally was going on, right in front of the recruiting office, is the ABC News building, and they've got sort of an electronic ticker tape going around, and one of the six messages that's being rotated says, Gates says Afghan withdrawal deadline may be delayed. Not even 24 hours after the president's speech saying that we're going to start pulling back, not even there yet, and Gates says the Afghan withdrawal deadline may be delayed. Does anyone else see a problem here?
Big problem.
big problem. Ellen Ratner from the Talk Radio News Service. Thank you. Such a pleasure to see you in person. Now, for anyone who is watching the video camera, you know that Ellen Ratner was not in the studio here. I spent a few hours this afternoon up at the Liz Claiborne headquarters because today was a day to listen. Actually, I don't have my notes in front of me. I'll talk about this tomorrow. I'll be filling in for Jack Rice tomorrow from noon to three here on Air America. But this is an annual event they do, and they had Talk Radio Row. So radio people were in from all over the country talking about domestic violence, mostly as it applies to, like, kids, teenagers and preteens and stuff, and getting them to talk about it. It was fascinating. I learned a lot today. But so that's where I recorded
at Liz Claiborne.
At Liz Claiborne.
Wow.
And Liz Claiborne puts this event on every year. I think this was the sixth annual day to talk, or I forget what it was called. But the day of talking about domestic violence, to bring it out there. And sure enough, I mean, Eric Holder issued a statement today on domestic violence. And today is the big day that MSNBC did a thing on it this morning. I mean, it's been in the news. So tomorrow, in the first hour at noon, I'll be filling in for Jack Rice, and I'll have some of the interviews that I did this afternoon tomorrow.
Because That's great.
And again, I have a 10-year-old daughter, so some of the stories I heard from there were teenagers there to parents of teens who... one woman, her daughter was killed by an ex-boyfriend because she broke up with him. You know, when you hear the stories of the controlling, and when you think of domestic violence, you think about, you know, violence being punched or hit or something, but so much of it is psychological and emotional.
Oh, yeah.
I
mean, that's how it was in my family. And I got to say, I think it's really fitting that we honor the struggle against domestic violence the same week that Chris Brown's album comes out. I think that's great.
There you go. And I spoke with a lot of people about Chris Brown and Rihanna today.
That guy deserves to be passed around his cell like a blunt at the Source Awards, I'll tell you. I don't care if she forgives him. I don't.
No, and I don't think she is. I think she did it first and then realized that, no.
Well, she doesn't want to let a good man get away like Tina did with Ike.
Oh, yeah. John Fugelsang is with us. We're going to take a break, and we got lots to talk about. So we'll be right back.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
All right, I got to tell you the funniest thing. John Fugelsang is with us here in the studio, and I mentioned Angela McCluskey is coming up. So she just called from the car, and she was already going to bring a couple of people with her, a couple of musician friends, and in her Scottish accent that I don't do accents well. But you'll hear her when she gets here.
It's a gorgeous one.
And yes, it is. And she said, you know, I'm still bringing the people with me that I was going to bring, but I've got a few other people with me too. I think you'll be okay. And one woman wrote the book on Bob Marley, Exodus, and lived with him in Jamaica. So she's got lots of stories to tell. And Ambrosia Parsley, do you know who she is?
I don't.
Ambrosia Parsley is another musician. She used to be in a band called Shivery, which they had a great song called Good Night Moon. And she's rattling off. So we're going to have a full house in here
fantastic.
In a little while. And we'll just gather around the microphones and we'll have fun and we'll have a nice treat. By the way, if you go to airamerica.com, we do have live video. Catch it while you can, because usually you don't see the video of the show. There's John Fugelsang waving, and I'm here. So before Angela gets here, and we won't be able to get a word in edgewise, let's talk.
Let's get going, man.
It's been a couple of weeks.
In the news. I've been on the road, and I haven't been able to come here and lower the discourse of your show with my jokes.
So it's
really good to be here and drag you down to my level again.
Well, hey, this is what we do, isn't it?
Word.
So obviously, where do we start? So much has happened since the last time we spoke.
Well, I'm here to promote my brand new reality show, The Real Fame Whores of Bravo.
Yes.
And I want to tell all of you to watch. It's where I find the greatest fame whores in the world who want to be famous without talent or hard work.
Uh-huh.
And we put them on TV and reward them for this, and NBC pays for it.
And it's, but that's already on the air.
I know. The Secret Service was supposed to stop it, and somehow it got through.
Now, the funny, did you hear? They were supposed to testify. They were supposed to go before a House investigation committee tomorrow. They've decided to decline the invitation, so maybe they should just not invite them and they'll show up.
I know. I heard they were going to go, but they didn't know how to post the video on Facebook, so what was really the point of going? It's really kind of disgusting that this is happening now, and it's kind of disturbing that it's now in our country easier to sneak two reality show losers into the White House than it is to bring liquids on a plane.
You're right.
Yeah.
You see, I've got this half a bottle of water here, and I would not be allowed to go through the security checkpoint with this.
Nope.
But they can get in the White House.
It's scary. There's a million potential redneck assassins out there who were just given hope by this whole story. You know, I mean, that's how they got President McKinley. It wasn't at the White House, but a guy got past the Secret Service and went on the reception line and shot him as he shook his hand. You know, it's terribly scary, and you got to wonder, is the Secret Service sending Obama a message, or how is this allowed to happen?
Well, and now, did you hear the head guy from the Secret Service today was suspended?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they suspended two of them. This U.S. Secret Service agents who let these people in have been suspended from their duties. In our own judgment, a mistake was made. You think?
You know, and the most obnoxious thing, they should have gone to jail for her outfit alone. When you're going to see the Indian Prime Minister and you wear a sari while you've got this orange Boehner-esque spray tan, that's like she's tanned herself out of the known color spectrum.
The dress was beautiful.
Oh, do you wear a sombrero if it's the Mexican ambassador?
I guess she would.
They should have been interrogated by the Indian Secret Service because that would have been fun. What do you know about coming to a state dinner, Jamal? What does a slumdog like you know about getting into a function like this?
I wonder if anybody else dressed like that.
I don't think anyone was as tacky as these folks, but it's all okay because things in America are so good now, Nicole, that our headlines can be dominated by celebrity athlete marital tiffs. And I'm really thrilled about that. We've turned the corner, and the only news in the world right now is the Tiger Woods relationship and the party crashers at the White House.
Now, why is Tiger Woods news?
I'll tell you why it's news, because people are devastated to learn that this man is not perfect. And I am devastated to find out there is adultery in golf. I mean, what's next? The NBA? It's horrible. You know, I do want to say that we'd have no way of measuring how much adultery is prevented by golf. But it's pretty pathetic. I mean, we now know that it's okay for a black man to blow off the cops for 3 days as long as he's very good at golf.
Yeah. Well, did you hear that the wife, Ellen, whatever her name is, is reportedly being paid a seven-figure amount, immediately transferred into an account she alone controls to stick with her husband. Mm-hmm. Also, reportedly, their prenup that had stipulated they must remain married for 10 years in order for her to collect a settlement of $20 million is being renegotiated.
I heard she's getting $5 million now and $55 if she sticks around 2 years.
Unbelievable. All right, back with more from John Fugelsang in a moment. Don't go away.
Sandler. You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
You wreck me, baby.
15 years old this song is this year.
Oh,
can you believe
goodness.
It? Produced
I'm
by
old.
Rick Rubin, Tom Petty's second solo album.
There
Fantastic.
You go. John Fugelsang is with me here in the studio. You know what's so cool? One of the things I love about you is we have this. We're both music geeks.
Yeah.
In addition to being politically aware and on the same plane politically, I think, we both have this music background.
The DJ and the VJ.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, I got thrown out of VH1 because I cared about music, you know? It was,
and I got thrown out of music radio because I cared about music.
Well, last
actually,
DJ,
I left music radio because I cared about music.
Yeah, it was really hard because when I was at VH1, I did specials with McCartney and George Harrison, and I interviewed Springsteen and Willie Nelson and Pete Townsend.
You interviewed Springsteen?
Yeah. That's, I sure did.
That's, you know, like up there. I've interviewed thousands of people in the, 30 years I've been in radio, and Bruce Springsteen is at the top of my list.
Well, why don't you go for him for a show like this? He, you know, you talk about the issues he cares about.
Yeah, but I can't get through all the layers.
Oh, you can send a thing out to a guy. Come on. You know,
I can send a thing out to a guy.
You can find out who his management is.
Oh, I know who his management is. It's Barbara Carr.
Mm-hmm.
But I
interviewed him. Actually, it was at a gig for at Tramps when he was playing backup for Joe Grushecki, whose album he produced back in 95.
Uh-huh.
And I made him laugh at a joke, and it was a real thrill. And, you know, I was the classic rock nerd. VH1 hired me to be a stand-up comic and to be like to do funny stuff, and then they wound up not having a lot of classic rock guys, and now, you know, now it's the washed-up loser in a hot tub network. Now it's the modern minstrel show, the D-listers swapping spit
right.
For, you know, it's how low can you degrade yourself, and it's It's pretty sad as a music fan to see what's happened to music TV.
Yeah, and music radio. I mean, there. But now in the day and age of the internet, you know, you don't really need radio. And the problem here's, I'll tell you a story. I actually still. I voice track for a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, you know, usually when you listen to music radio these days, it's very rare that the disc jockey is actually sitting in the studio and speaking in between records.
Mm-hmm.
I did today. I did 2 5-hour weekend shifts in the course of an hour. Email, you know, I spoke from my little breaks in between the records and I emailed them off to a city in the Midwest somewhere. And they will air this weekend. That's what radio is about now.
Yeah, Tom Petty wrote a great song about that, too.
Yes.
The Last DJ?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, best song about the music industry.
Right.
Ever.
So it just doesn't exist like it used to. And the DJ, hold on, this is Angela calling. This is such good radio. Angela, honey, I'm on the air.
Okay, if you're just tuning in.
You're in the elevator. Oh, okay,
Nicole
they're in the
Sandler
elevator.
Is taking
okay,
calls
bye.
While on the air.
Well, it's Angela McCluskey. And, she's an artiste, so I gave her the number in the studio, but she has my cell phone. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. Gee, I wonder why.
The music industry sucks out loud, I think we were discussing.
Yeah. So the disc jockey doesn't get to pick the music. Oh, so the station that I voice track for used to be really eclectic. And my kind of, you know, radio station. Well, now they play like the same songs over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden their ratings went up. Go
yeah.
figure.
Well, that's why they call it pop.
Right.
Because the fizz rises to the top.
Right. So, you know, for commercial radio, you're not going to get exposed to the kind of music I like. And so it's just sort of a dying breed. So you can find that stuff online. And the kind of radio I'm doing now is what I think is really important.
That's why I dig your show, because your show's not just politics. You bring rock and roll into it for
mm-hmm.
people who care about decent music. And I don't want to hear you complaining that I interviewed Bruce Springsteen, because you've got a picture of yourself with the damn man on your Facebook page.
Well, yeah, one of the few times I met him and I went, actually, that picture was taken at the MTV Plugged.
Mm-hmm.
I was there at the taping when it started to be an Unplugged, and he did one song Unplugged and then said, we're going to plug in.
91.
Yes. And afterwards, we got to, you know, stick around and take pictures with him. And thus, that's why I looked so wired and crazed.
Good record. Best live version of Atlantic City he ever released.
Yeah.
Okay. And Redheaded Woman.
Oh, yes. Well, speaking, I saw the first time he ever played that song live, and there were two shows. It was a benefit for the Christic Institute in Los
yep.
Angeles, and it was Bruce Springsteen, Jackson Browne, and Bonnie Raitt.
It's a great bootleg.
I was at both those nights.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Well, right. Yeah, we were just talking about Bob Dylan's Christmas album during the break. You
yes,
know?
We were. I mean, and, you know, when I got that in the mail, and I had you on the air that night, and I was playing with it, and we were both sort of laughing at it, but your opinion has changed.
Yeah, I really have to recommend Bob's Christmas album, not just for the fact that all the proceeds go to fight world hunger. He did a very interesting interview with Bill Flanagan, my old boss at VH1, this week, that was released to the nation's homeless newspapers, street news. And you know, I really think this album, the more I've listened to it, is Bob's attempt at putting out Lawrence Welk or the Andrews Sisters kind of Christmas
uh-huh.
music as authentic Americana music.
Right.
It's roots music, and it's a genre of American music that's often overlooked. We talk about folk and country and country western. We don't talk about Christmas music as a really authentic American art form. And I think this album, Christmas in the Heart, is really him staking a claim to this being a real roots kind of music. And you've never heard the man sing like he sings on this album. The passion he throws himself into these songs. It may sound like the village drunk in the jail cell, but still, I'm astonished at the passion he puts into this performance.
Uh-huh. So you've come around and you're enjoying listening to it.
I defend it. Yes, it's the best album you will ever listen to once.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
If you say so. I still can't get through it, but okay.
Well, it helps to, I guess, be you're Jewish, but so is Bob, so I don't know.
Right, and I'm about as Jewish as he is, although he's a little more Christian than, I don't know what he is.
No one
is,
knows what Bob is.
No, I don't think
and
Bob
And he enjoys
knows what
it.
Bob.
That's how he wants it.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. John Fugelsang is with us. So it's been a few weeks since we've spoken. Big news since the last time we spoke, of course, happened just earlier this week, and the president announced that he's sending 30,000 more troops to Afghanistan. Not that we should be surprised, because he told us during the campaign he wanted to wind down the war in Iraq and focus on the war that we should be in, Afghanistan. Now, I disagree with that, but the people who are shocked and surprised, I guess they weren't listening during the campaign.
Yeah, I think of people really wanted a liberal, they would have voted for Denis Kucinich. He said all along that he was going to, you know, put more money into Afghanistan. But my question is, so if this guy, Obama, gets to keep his Nobel Peace Prize, why does Milli Vanilli have to give the Grammy back? Can someone explain the logic?
Well, I wonder how he's going to get up there and go to Oslo and accept it on the heels of escalating this war in Afghanistan.
You know, they say that Afghanistan is the graveyard of empires. Mm-hmm. Trying to please the Pentagon is the graveyard of Democrats. And that's what really scares me about the whole thing. You know, to come out and say, no more blank check, Afghanistan. Now, here's $100 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this, after we 2 weeks after we find out the public option will save $125 billion off the deficit. And now they want $100 billion back on the deficit. Where's the money, Lebowski? That's the question. I mean, I hate to be, you know, sounding like our Republican friends, but that said, it's a special ops deal. 30,000 guys to go get 100 al-Qaedas, it's not going to happen. No. Osama bin Laden is dead, folks. He's not in Pakistan. He's dead. And I can prove he's dead because he releases 5 tapes a year, and the only other guy to do that is Tupac. So he's as dead as disco.
And Michael Jackson now, too, probably. I think we'll see 5 CDs a year from him.
I think you will.
And
the kid's got to eat. But, you know, Osama bin Laden was allowed to escape because they had the Secret Service guarding the border at Tora Bora. So he slipped right on by and went to a White House dinner on the way to Pakistan. And now it's a big game of catch up. You're not. This is Afghanistan. It's not a country. It's a bunch of valleys where they say, you come here, we shoot you.
Right.
They're not going to win. You can't win this. There's no prize. They don't even tell us who we're fighting against.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ancient civil war that's been going on for hundreds of years, and we're showing up late. We're like an expansion team. We're like the Florida Marlins of Afghani warlords. And I think what he's going to try and do is, it's a quid pro quo. At this point, the military does function, I'm borrowing a phrase, but as a welfare system for southern states, to say nothing of the military-industrial complex Eisenhower talked about. Every tank is made in 10 different states. It's all business. This will get the public option passed. And when he runs for re-election in 2012, you're going to have 3 things happening. The troops will begin to come home, and he'll bring them back no matter what. A lot of it's for show anyway. I think
so. He can pull them out and say, see, I told you I was going to bring them home and now reelect me.
It's a jobs program. Exactly. You don't want to have all these National Guard reservists walking around having their jobs go away and no health care. Keep them over there. Number 2, the public option will have passed. It'll be ready to go into effect. And number 3, the biggest threat he had has just dropped out of the presidential race this week. And that's
Mike Huckabee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike Huckabee is, you know, this is Willie Horton all over again. That's how they defeated Dukakis. So Mike Huckabee doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah, and this time it'll be the Republicans defeating him with Willie Horton because he's the biggest threat Sarah Palin has. He's the biggest threat Mitt Romney has. And Sarah Palin has pretty much locked up the right-wing pseudo-Christian worship Christ as a god because that's easier than following his teachings vote.
Right.
I wrote a little limerick for Huckabee. It goes like this. The career of that great Christian Huckabee seemed blessed by divine Luckabee. He's pro-torture, pro-war, pro-tax cuts, unless you're poor, just one more big fake Christian Schmuckabee. And stick a fork in Mike, his political career is done.
I like that one. Okay. Now, you got Sarah Palin, and I guess if Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh will support her, she does stand a chance of winning. Now, Glenn Beck, you know, is in New York tonight.
Yes.
Taping his Christmas show down in the village.
Yeah, because he cares about, you know, Christian values so much. It's very important to him.
Well, apparently, I love this, he's now encouraging his followers to basically make fun of poor people.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Christ did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Christ hated the sick, hated the poor, tax cuts for the rich. Have you read the Bible?
Well, apparently, in his November 24th newsletter just last week, 2 days before Thanksgiving, Glenn Beck had this advice for his fans. You know how somebody, have you ever been asked this by some random panhandler, can he spare some change? A good response is, sorry, I only carry hundreds. It gets him every time.
That's hilarious. Wow. I think Dickens should have put that in Christmas Carol in the end. You know, calling Glenn Beck a douche is an insult to douches. Here's the thing, folks out there. It all ties into the healthcare because, you know, Jesus never made a leper give him a copay. If you are against competition, you can't call yourself a capitalist. And if you don't want to help the sick, stop calling yourself a Christian. And if you don't want to save American lives, stop calling yourself a patriot.
And stop calling yourself pro-life.
Exactly.
You know, the pro-lifers, they're pro-fetus. They're not really pro-life.
They're pro-some life. And if you've read the Bible, Nicole, you would know that Jesus really cared about one thing, the death penalty, killing the sinner. The whole book of Luke is pretty much fry the rat bastards.
Jesus, is that it?
Well, we have this prayer where we say, forgive us our trespasses as we lethally inject those who trespass against us. and that was the whole Easter story. Easter Sunday morning, Jesus rises from the dead, moves the stone away from the tomb, walks back resurrected with one thought on his mind, payback. And crept up to Pontius Pilate like Clint Eastwood and Hang 'Em High and said, next time you crucify a man, you be sure you finish the job. The death penalty is an insult to everything Christ stood for.
Is that why we're in Afghanistan? It's payback.
That's exactly why. You know, if there was no death penalty, Jesus would still be here. And as far as the war thing goes, it's just absurd. And I'm writing a book about this right now because it's time for the real Christians, the people who care about what Jesus taught, to take him back from the chinos, or as I call them, the Christians in name only. A lot of wrinkled chinos out there, too. But Jesus was a peaceful, radical, nonviolent revolutionary, hung around with lepers, hookers, and crooks, was not an American citizen, didn't speak English, was anti-capitalist, totally anti-death penalty, anti-public prayer, Matthew 6:5, look it up, but never anti-gay, didn't mention abortion, and was a long-haired, brown-skinned, it's in Paul, homeless Middle Eastern Jew. That's the guy whose birthday we're celebrating. Take him back from the creeps. I view Jesus like I view Elvis. I love the guy. The fan clubs freak me out.
There you go. John Fugelsang. Great words of wisdom that we should post everywhere.
Can I get an amen?
Amen, hell brother. Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
I don't care what you say. I don't care where you go. Or how long you stay. Someday.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
You can't turn him into a whore. Great song.
I don't want to interrupt John Fugelsang singing, but we have important things to talk
about. And by the way, Tom Petty fans, the new live box set came out this week. Do yourself a favor and buy it.
Okay. You know, I'm going to have to dig out, because I did interview Tom Petty back in the day. And I've got all these old rock and roll interviews on DAT. So I need to dub them off, they're already digital, but I got to put them on the computer and
get
put them up on the podcast.
And play them around. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I will do that.
I did a 2-hour live special with him for VH1 many moons ago.
Well, you beat me there.
Not really. We're in different states.
Yes, we were. Yes. And mine was, on the radio. Radio is the ugly stepchild to television.
Oh, that's what you haven't watched VH1 lately. You haven't seen For the Love of Ray J.
No, you're right. I haven't watched VH1 lately. You're absolutely right there. All right. So during the break, we were talking about Sarah Palin. She's sort of, the subject you love to hate. And as you said, she's great for ratings.
Yeah, I started reading the book, but about halfway through, I got bored and decided to pursue other options. So I quit it. But what's really funny? I actually had a joke about her 2 weeks ago. I was on a different radio show, and I said I waited in line at one of her book signings, but she got bored and quit halfway through. And then she did that.
She did that.
I can't do the joke anymore. Now I really hate her.
Right. And did you hear the latest? I heard Keith talking about it. Apparently the people who are waiting online at her book signings, she's charging them $16 to take a picture with her.
Ah, that's nice. That's good.
At her book signing.
That's good. That helps the economy. I love her and Todd, a recessionist married to a secessionist. Beautiful
there
thing.
There you go. Now here, this is not a joke. This is for real. Sarah Palin's continuing her wacky tour of the U.S. by giving the keynote address at the International Bowling Expo next June
it's
Las Vegas.
It's beautiful. I mean, you couldn't make it up. It's so wonderful.
No. And the bowling people explain, her presence underscores the impact and importance of bowling, one of our country's leading national pastimes, and a growing $10 billion industry.
Yeah, she said that what she's doing now is reloading. She told Oprah she's reloading.
To
me,
reloading.
It smells like the same load. Here's the thing. This whole book is all about her blaming the McCain aides. And it's like, woman, you don't blame the people who made you famous, okay? Because the Kardashians aren't blaming OJ. So,
you
start. Republicans blame other people. Hillary Clinton, gay people who want to get married, Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter. That's get on
yeah,
bus.
Yeah, and Barack Obama.
But, you were saying during the break that you don't see how she could ever make it to the White House.
Right.
Let me tell you, if you told anybody in 65 that Nixon would be president, they'd laugh at you. If you told anybody in 77 that Reagan would be president, they would laugh at you. And if you told anybody that Barack Obama would be president in 2006, they would laugh at you. So I say never assume such a thing. You will never go broke telling ignorant people they're right all the time. And she's going to be there for a long time because the media loves her. She's great for ratings.
You're absolutely right there. But that said, I talk about how stupid she is, but then we had George Bush.
But here's the thing. Neither one of them were stupid. They're ignorant. And
yes,
it's a big difference.
There is a difference. They are ignorant people. Right.
They're not stupid. George Bush, except for privatizing Social Security, he got everything he wanted. He's the most successful president at implementing his own agenda we've had since Roosevelt.
You're absolutely right. And here's where, you know, he and Obama have differed. George Bush, in that sense, was a great president in that he pushed his entire agenda through. You're right, with the exception of privatizing Social Security.
Look at Afghanistan. Obama took 2 months to decide on something that Bush would have decided on in 2 minutes.
Right. This is why I had hope for Obama. I thought he's really considering all the options. He's going to make a well-informed decision. He's going to do the right thing. Even though he told us during the campaign he was going to escalate the war in Afghanistan, I thought he was going to change direction and do the right thing. And no.
Well, again, Huckabee was the biggest threat Obama had. I mean, Mitt Romney's not going to do it. Okay, there's too much footage of Mitt Romney. Go on YouTube, folks, and watch Mitt Romney debating Ted Kennedy about who's the most pro-choice back in 1994. Mitt Romney's, they're going to kill him with that. I mean, maybe if he gets the nomination, they can do it, but they're going to...
Right, and Mitt Romney, sorry, is a Mormon. Now, if it was such a big deal that Obama was not a Christian, but a secret Muslim, how would these chinos... feel about having a Mormon in the White House?
Doesn't Mitt Romney remind you of one of those guys who really hates gay people, but every now and then goes on Craigslist looking for dudes? You know, the kind of guy really hates the gays, but he's been through a mile and a half of strange fella, but still calls himself bi-curious.
Yeah.
I'm going to start the Mitt Romney's gay rumor and call him Catcher's Mitt. It's just a joke. I'm kidding. He's a top.
Well, you know, he's got the hair.
He's got the hair of a weatherman in Omaha.
Yes,
I mean,
that guy's
in another empty suit, and we'll see if he can buy the nomination, because at this point, it's going to be a two-way race.
Wow. Well, you know, there's still a couple of years to go, and maybe someone else will emerge as the new golden child of the Republican Party, but...
Yeah, Bobby Jindal, boy governor.
Oh, yeah. Not...
He was against the stimulus before he was for it.
John Fugelsang is with us. We're going to take a break, come back after the top of the hour with Angela McCluskey and friends, because she did bring the posse with her. And we're going to have some musical moments and more fun as well. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back.